Morning. My name is John Hepner, and we'll discuss today about the goal, but this time about the individual goal. We've been discussing for more than 2 months about the goals of the church, but today we'll focus on goal as an individual. But last time we discussed how vital is the discipleship for the church, and you'll see the connection between discipleship and the goal of our life. And since Jesus started his ministry and founded the church on a teacher-disciple relationship, the early church was based on discipleship, and the modern church, our church, can survive only based on the same relationship. The Great Commission calls us not only to make converts, but to make disciples. And it's very good for us today to repeat this important statement. And you know that there are three steps, at least three steps in discipleship. And first step, Jesus showed us in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, when he said, if you hold to my teaching and you are even my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the first step of every disciple is that desire to remain in God's word, to hold to his teaching. So it's that hunger for God's word. The second step is to make yourself available for the teacher, to make yourself available to be used, to be involved in the work of service. And the third step is to be an imitator of teacher's life, because every disciple becomes a teacher and makes other disciples. The word of God is like that baton which we are taking, but we have to pass to others. And that's why Paul said that you entrust what you heard to a reliable man who will also be qualified to teach others. All of us have the same responsibility to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's much easier to prepare to meet Christ when we are together, when we have a teacher who watch out and who see what we need and who help us. And we, you know, the discipleship relation, they are based on trust and love, and that brings us to accountability and dependency. And dependency on God, but also on each other. And we have to be aware that the Spirit always will lead us to this dependency, but the flesh always will strive and will fight for independence. And I will remind you about that welcome card, which is really, it's a real welcome card today. It's not only for a visitor, but for all those who would like to be involved in this process. I got already 8 disciples, and also we found some more teachers. Once somebody wants to be discipled by other teacher, they are recognized as teachers, and I will gather all the information and I will let you know who is recognized in this church as a teacher. And how many people got involved in this vital process of the church. So today we'll speak about the goal of life. And actually you see that I will click like this. I will use my clicker, the best one. The questions which we have here: who am I? Why am I living? And what's God's expectation from me, and what's my mission on this earth? These are the questions which every philosopher, every religion tries to answer. And the questions which sooner or later every inhabitant of this earth will have. And that's why God reminds us that for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Trying to find the goal of the church, we can make a mistake if we will try to find this goal within ourselves. Once we have a creator, we definitely should go and to ask him what was his goal when he made us and what's his mission for us. Why you are born in a certain year, in a certain place, in a certain country, and definitely with a certain goal. We are not victims of coincidence. We are, God has a definite plan of every of us, and it's so clear from the Bible. Let's look in Psalm 139 from verse 14, who says that, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's so clear that God has a special mission for every of us. Let's look in the Bible and to see that all the people from the Bible had certain goals and a concrete mission for their generation. And let's see, for example, Abraham. In Genesis 18, the Lord said, shall I hide for Abraham what I am about to do? For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about Abraham what he has promised him. Try to see in these verses what was the God's mission for Abraham. Look, he said that, I know that Abraham will direct his children. Actually, Abraham established a whole nation in God's word, and even now we call the believers Abraham's kids. And the Lord knew that he will fulfill his part, and in this case, the Lord will be able to fulfill all the promises to him. That was his mission, and he accomplished it in a full manner. Let's look to David. And you will see that David also had a certain mission for his generation, and Bible, Acts 13, verse 36 proved that when David served God's purpose in his own generation. Now let's hear John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. But did he know about his mission that the Apostle John said about John the Baptist? But let's look to see if he knew his mission. And in John 1:23, when he was asked, who are you? Are you Messiah? He said, no. Are you Elijah? No. Are you a prophet? No. Who are you? And he used the verse from Isaiah, and he said, I am the voice of one calling in a desert, make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist came after 500 of silence. He came into the world, but he submitted the whole his life to that mission. And you know that first step was to identify who Christ is, and that's why he was baptizing to see a dove. Because God said that to whom you will see my spirit coming in the form of the dove, you recognize that he's my beloved son. And he was looking every day for that dove, and when he recognized him, he just revealed, he presented him, and he knew what his mission. Now, let's look to the next, to Paul, to Apostle Paul's purpose. Paul knew, he knew his mission also in 2 Timothy. He said, I'm appointed as a herald, as a proclaimer, and as an apostle, and as a teacher, and that's why I'm suffering as I am. And talking to Philippians, he presented the four steps of his vision. He said, first is my vision, that's what I want. First is to know Christ. The second is to know the power of his resurrection. And every day he was seeing the power of Jesus' resurrection in his disciples and those who were coming to Christ. And that's, I think, the desire of your heart, to see the power of resurrection in this church, everywhere. But third, he said, I would like to share Jesus' sufferings. Do you need to be a martyr? If I ask you, do you have this in your vision? You don't know. You don't know if you need to be a martyr as Paul. But we'll see later how did he know that that he has to be a martyr. And also he said that the fourth, he wants to become, to die as Christ. Those were four parts of his mission. And that's why he said, I'm pressing on to take hold of Jesus. And one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize. When the Apostle Paul got his mission, his vision, we see in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, when he met Jesus, he asked, what I shall do? What's your goal for me? And Jesus said, now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And in the city, God sent Ananias, and he said, go, this man is my chosen instrument. And what he will do, first, he will carry my name before the Gentiles. Second, he will carry my name before the kings. And nowadays, many people evangelize others, but not many have power to go before the presidents of the country. Not many were like Billy Graham to be able to evangelize those high authorities of the country. And Paul was one chosen to evangelize even the kings. And you know that from the book of Acts that he spoke even before Caesar. But also he said that you carry my name before people of Israel. And that was the third, and fourth, I will show you him that he has to suffer. So Paul, from the very beginning, knew what was his mission, and he submitted all his life, he submitted all his time, all his energy to fulfill, to accomplish that mission. And that's why he said, I'm not ashamed to suffer, because I know that's a part of my vision, of my mission. But we see that Paul not only knew his vision, but also he taught his disciples to submit their lives for accomplishing their mission. And he told Timothy, said to Timothy, here, go back. Paul, when he finished his life, he said, "Now I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed to his appearing." In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, he said, "Now I would like to die, but I know that I will not die. Why? Because I have still work to do." That was his great desire, to die and to be with Christ, but he said, "I know that that is not going to happen." But after 1.5 years, he said this word, "Now I'm ready to die." Why? Why he was sure now that he's going to die? He said, "Look, I finished the race. I accomplished the mission." So he was accounting his life in accordance how much he accomplished from his mission. And once he accomplished his mission, he said, "Now I'm ready to die. And where I'm going? I'm going to receive that reward, that medal, because I finished the race." Again, we see a life totally submitted for fulfilling God's mission. And as I said, that Paul strictly followed God's vision for him and taught also his disciples to do so. He said to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions." He was teaching his disciples. He understood how important it is to live this life according to the vision which God has given to you. And that's why he was teaching to exercise, to practice, to do what God put you to do every day, every time, every minute, to be submitted to this goal. And let's look now in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 7 and be careful what God says here, because we will stop more in this passage to see how important is this passage for us, because that's how he finishes this message. Reflect on what I'm saying, he says in verse 7. "For the Lord will give you insight into all this." And I would say also, be careful what God is saying. If you will not understand, God will give today insight to understand this important message. "You then, my son," from verse 1, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in the civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Again, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." And let's make a chart. This chart, we'll like to put first three examples. In first column, three illustrations which Paul has given to Timothy. Because if we will understand those illustrations, that will be a powerful message to our hearts. So which are those three illustrations? First is soldier. Second is athlete. And third is farmer. But look what these three different people had in common. What they had in common? Athlete, a farmer, and a soldier. What they had in common? The goal. And look, the goal of the soldier is to please his commanding officer. Usually people say, what's the goal of the soldier? To win the war. No, that's the goal of general. But the goal of the soldier is much limited, much more clear. Just do what your commander says you to do. What's the goal of the athlete? To win the competition, to get the medal. And how about farmer? To get crops. But now you can have the best goal, and nothing will happen if you don't do anything about accomplishing those goals. And there are people who know what God is expecting from them, and anyway they are not doing, they are not accomplishing what they should do. So the column in the middle is their action. And tell me what's the action of the soldier, if he would like to please his commander. Don't put back. Tell me, what's the action of the soldier? The soldier, he doesn't allow himself to get distracted with the civilian affairs. How about athletes? In 92, I was competing in Norway. And my opponent was much weaker, but he won the competition. You know why? I made two mistakes. I used the low kicks, which is prohibited in Taekwondo. I broke the rules. And that's why I didn't get the medal. And here the passage says that the athlete will compete according to the rules if he would like to gain the medal. And what's the action of the farmer? He will lay down and will dream about the crop. He will work hard. And let's see again that these three people, they have a goal, a very definite goal. And actually, the psychology will tell you that the goal gives birth to action. Better you understand the goal, the more aggressive you are in fulfilling that action. Let's say if you got really bad news that you have cancer, and you immediately will not you will go to visit your doctor, and that postponed visit, which you didn't have time before, now finally you accomplish because you understood that that's important, that will cost your life. So it's the same with the goal. That's why it's so important not only to understand the goal, but to go deeper in understanding what God's mission for us, and that will encourage you, that will motivate you to do actions. And we can see that we as a soldier, athletes, farmers, first, we should focus ourselves to fulfill that specific mission which God gave us to do. As a soldier, you don't need to war to win the war. You should do only that part of your mission to please your officer. And also, for doing that, you have some rules, and you have to keep those rules, but also you have to work hard. It's impossible to fulfill God's mission just coming, attending a church, and going back home to your private life without being involved in the life of church. The next, which we would like to see, is that usually the goal is more clear in the end of life. And if you go to a funeral, you hear a very nice evaluation of somebody's life and how much she accomplished. But that's why Solomon said it's much better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for the death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. It's much better to go to a funeral than to go to a wedding ceremony or to go to a birthday party. Why? Because there we understand that we not only have a goal, but we have a limited time to fulfill that goal. God didn't give us a goal and gave us unlimited time. No, we got a very limited time to fulfill our goal. And the first thing that will happen to us when we'll pass and we'll meet our Lord is we'll give an account how we fulfill His mission. And if I will ask you, what was the goal of Joseph from the Old Testament, the Jacob's son? Tell me, what was his goal, his mission? Come on, you know, yes, to save a nation, to save his people. How about Moses? To lead them to a promised land. How about Joshua? Joshua to gain. To get in possession the land, the promised land. You see that almost any Christian can name, easily name their goals. But not everybody can name what God's mission for himself. And now we know that the main purpose, the life vision, the life mission is like an axle. We, in different periods of time, we have goals. Let's say, I'm in the school. I have a goal to graduate from my school. And after that, I have a goal to go to a good college and to graduate from that college, to get a job. And if I'm married, I have a wife, and my wife has some expectation from me, and I have a goal to be a good husband, to be a good father. I have in different periods of my life different goals. But none of these goals can become the center of my life. Why? Because none of them are strong enough to support me in hard times. What I'm saying that I can't really focus my life around my job or my family or my hobbies or my sport, or I can't, because these are like they are like spokes of the wheel, but there is only one axle, and that axle is God's mission for me. It's very important what my wife is thinking about me, what you as a church think about me, but it's much more important what God thinks about me and what His expectation. And that's why we see that the goal is like a ray. And a flashlight also makes a light ray, but it's not so focused and doesn't have such a power as a laser. A laser can cut even metal. Why? Because it's focused. And that's why after we will find our goals, we have to focus all our strength, all our energy to fulfill that goal. Again, you don't need today to make up your goal. You don't need to be so wise to figure out what's your goal. You need only to go to your Creator and to ask what's His goal for you. Because we have to discover, and that can be can happen only through revelation, when God is opening His heart and telling us what's His expectation. And the next Sunday we'll talk about how that can be made in a practical way. Again, there are many goals, but only one mission. The goals are temporary, the mission is forever. What you'll try to do doesn't really matter, because many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. What really will happen, that God will let accomplish only His goal. Once, after I came to Christ, you know that I was involved in mafia before, and when I came to Christ, I was able to talk with different gangsters, and one of them I had opportunity to meet many times with the, you call the chief of mafia, godfather, or how you call it. And I spoke many times about Christ with him. And one time I asked him directly, who made you a judge? And he said, God. I said, come on, God made you a judge. No, God didn't make you a judge. And he said, no, God made me. If God will not like me in this position, He'll kill me. He'll take me away very easily, very immediately. But once I'm here, means that I'm put here by God. So I'm fulfilling God's will. And I took in that, I just read a verse from the Bible to him. From 2 Timothy 2:20, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And they said, yes, God uses you. But what kind of vessel are you? And they said, are you a gold vessel? Or are you a potty chair? And he was shocked. I don't know from where I got the courage to tell him, because he could kill me. But he started to think about, because God can use you as you are. But He wants to use you as an honor, a vessel of honor, and to use only for the purpose which He intended originally for you. We can submit God to our purposes and to be the most miserable and most unhappy person in this world, or we can submit to God's purpose and to be fulfilled. The life without a purpose looks how he, it looks. It's like a sailboat without sails. And of course, this kind of life, it's you'll be tossed by the waves. Or it's like a car driven in a fog without direction. And it's really hard even to say that that's a life. It's more an existence. Why are so many tied on this earth? Why are so many disappointed? Under depression, under fatigue. Why? Because when you lose your focus, you are easily getting tired, disappointed. And for sure, God doesn't want us to live such a life. She wants us to get this enthusiasm, this passion, which you can have only when you realize what God's mission for you and you submit all your life to fulfill that. And in the end, we'll see that the meaning or the translation of the word sin is hamartia, means you just you miss the mark, you miss the goal. And we can live a whole life, a life in sin, if we miss God's purpose for us. You can come to the church Sunday by Sunday without realizing what God's expectation from you, and to find out in the end and to hear those tragic words which we know from the Matthew chapter 7. Go away from me. I never knew you. Because you lived a life according to your understanding, not according God's expectation. This week, I would like you to pray. Lord, reveal it to me. What's your expectation? If I'm a teacher, for example, where I should teach? How many churches I should teach? What you want for me? Just give me a clear understanding. And next Sunday, we'll start to see that God left us on the pages of the Holy Scripture a lot to come to a full understanding what his expectation for us and from you as an individual. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't really understand or find what's your goal for us if we will not come to you and will not ask you to reveal it to us. And we know that everyone who submitted his life for accomplishing your mission will become happy, fulfilled in every way, will become makarios, which means without any needs, because he has you as a full measure of the full understanding of Christian life. We're asking this day to help everyone to understand what you expect from every one of us. We would like to live that kind of life in abundance, life full of meaning, life full of happiness. We don't want to hear those tragic words, go away from me, I never knew you. That's why we're asking to work with our hearts, with our church, and to make this a living church who give birth to curiosity to everyone around, because they will see in us a life-driven, goal-driven life. We're asking in Jesus' name to work with our hearts. Amen.